So our topic today is that beautiful phrase in the Catechism, in the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the communion of saints. So having stated the belief of the Christians in the Church, the Creed goes on now to speak of the communion, koinonia, communion of saints. So we reflected on the meaning of saints when we examined our faith earlier in the Church as being holy. This is a recalling for you now. In the New Testament, the word saints refers to all the members of the community, because it doesn't mean people who lead a holy life. They're called saints because God, the Holy One, has chosen to dwell among them. Of course, this involves a call to live in a way that's consistent with God's choice. So a saint ought to be holy. You know, a saint ought to live a good moral life. But even if you're living a bad moral life, Paul, in his writings, still calls you saints, reminding you of the sacred reality of God's choosing to call you and dwell with you and be among you as a people. Live your life, said Paul, in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Is that point clear enough? When Paul's writing to the saints in the community of Corinth and then spends most of the letter criticizing them for the dreadful way they're behaving, even at the Eucharist, you should be able to understand what I'm saying. Do you get it? So saints means where the Holy One has chosen to dwell. An ontological reality that has its own impulses that should take us to live a beautiful life, but they may not. Now, today, in ordinary parlance, I think it came up last week, we use the word saints for those whose lives have been they've died, and they have lived exceptionally beautiful lives, and they're presented to us as models of the Christian life. Sometimes the first step that the Church takes in modern era, it's been a few centuries now, but in recent times, is a person is beatified, like Mother Mary MacKillop, which means the Church says her life is such that we can be absolutely sure she's in heaven with God. Not only that, she's presented to the Australian people as a model of holiness. So it's local. If she were to be canonized, it means, theoretically, I'm giving you the theory, that the Church has judged that this person's life is such that they should be considered a model throughout the whole Christian Church. Like it's a universal, embracing idea. Okay. So there's two different uses of the word saint. They're not unrelated, but they're different. Let's look at what we share. Firstly, the Catechism does this, all that we share. It talks, and I won't say any more about them because we do them at depth when we come up to them. We share faith. The saints community shares faith, sacraments, gifts of the Spirit. We have everything in common. That's the early Church. Remember that beautiful? So we may not economically now, and it didn't work then even, but the idea of sharing and love. Death is the horizon beyond which those who are still alive on earth cannot see. But it doesn't end the communion. Your communion with your parents, assuming that you had a close relationship with them, wasn't stopped with death. A certain kind of experience is, but not your communion with them, surely. Because those who die in communion with God are taken into God's embrace in the eternal life that is the goal of our existence. So death is not a significant factor in the communion of saints. So, what do we mean by the communion of saints? Paul VI, in his book, Credo of the God's People, paragraph 30, has this to say, and it's a beautiful definition of what we mean by the communion of saints. We believe in the communion of all the faithful of Christ, those who are pilgrims on earth, the dead who are being purified, and the blessed in heaven, all together forming one Church. And we believe that in this communion The merciful love of God and his saints is always attentive to our prayers. That's a perfect definition of this article of the faith. We're in communion here and beyond death. I'll now talk about aspects of that with you. So we're in communion with those in heaven who continue to intercede for us. There are some Christian groups who find this enormously difficult. I've never found out why. It's such a simple concept. I ask you to pray for me. It's nice, isn't it, when you're in need and that someone comes along and says, look, we're praying for you. I remember one time of my life when that meant a heck of a lot to me, because you feel isolated and alone and someone says they're praying for you. It's very comforting, isn't it? So if I can ask you to pray for me and you are praying for me, God knows my needs, but we need company, we need love. We're people, we're human beings, for God's sake. We're not just thoughts. So that somebody's there praying is very comforting. The day you die, why should that end? What on earth is there about death that would stop you praying for me? In fact, I would think it would release you. I hope my mother and father are praying for me better than they did when I was alive, because they know me better, for good and ill, I have to confess. But you know what I mean? Surely to God, their love doesn't stop with death. I mean, it's just absurd. So why wouldn't, you don't have to, but why wouldn't I be comforted by the thought that they're praying for me, or my elder sister praying for me, or my brother who was a priest just above me who died, you know, all of that. And you've got your memory. So what's the problem of praying to the saints? You don't have to. They have little things in our church about praying to St. Jude. Well, I have to tell you, I couldn't care about it. I mean, like, St. Jude doesn't mean a thing to me. Maybe he should, and if I was a pregnant mother, he might, but I'm not. Do you know what I mean? So, and other people pray to this. You pray where your heart goes. And we had a little child the other day who confirmed, and he took Damasus for his confirmation name. I thought this was marvellous. So I said, why? He said, oh, well, he's the bloke, I think he said, who, Damasus was the pope back in the 3rd century, who started to take care of the catacombs in Rome. And if you go to Rome, you'll see things that he wrote about the bone and getting the stories together of the great martyrs, you know. So he's interested in archaeology. So he's taken some Damasus. So I said to him, the best thing about what you've done, lad, is that there's nobody else in the world who's got some Damasus, so you've got complete attention. Like, you know, he's been up there for 1,800 years. Nobody cared. And then suddenly this little boy has got him. Well, I was joking, but I wasn't joking either. Like, so what's the problem about the saints? They reckon we worship them. Well, I mean, you just got to tell them you don't. But I told someone that once, and they said, yes, you do. And I said, no, I don't. And they said, yes, you do. And I thought, this is like two boys in a playground. I mean, why doesn't he ask me what I do instead of telling me? All right. So I think that's simple, and I won't go further, except that the whole of the talk today is about Mary, the saint. Now, what about communion with those who are being purified? Communion of saints, purgatory, purgation just means purification, another word. Now, see how this goes with you. If we leave aside some of the ways in which we've imagined purgatory, so we're not into images now, though you can't live without them, but all your images of purgatory are your images. They're not the church's images. Forget about it. The teaching itself is quite simple and straightforward. Okay, I'll tell you my experience. I bet it fits with yours. Sometimes when people die, they're so pure that we say, not with certainty, of course, that they've gone straight to heaven. A simple expression of recognition of the wonders that God has done for them, and to which they've opened themselves in their life, and often, especially in their final suffering. So I know people like that, you know people like that, and when they die, they've got no unfinished business, they've just got love left. They're not angry with anybody. They're just beautiful. I had one recently. Marvellous woman. And in your kind of childish way, you think they've gone straight to heaven. Do you know what I mean? They're just so pure. Their life has brought them to purity, but they've accepted it too. And they've gone through the pain. And so we say they've gone straight to heaven. That's only what we're saying. But the saints are like that, the canonized saints, obviously those who knew them. They were such beautiful, lovely, graced people. Now, at other times, and we're not saying we know, we're never certain, but at other times, it seems obvious, though again we're not claiming any certainty, that the person who dies is only half free. They're only half, there's a lot of unfinished business, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of bitterness, there's a lot of rubbish. Well, they may be basically facing God, I'm not saying they're, you know, but they're, you know, well, you know what I mean. They're not really that pure in their loving. There seems a lot that still needs to be purified if they're fully receptive to God's love. What is the human experience? The teaching of purgatory is nothing more than a recognition of the fact that if a person is not fully pure at the moment of death, a process of purification must happen. That's all we're saying. Who wants to spend the whole of eternity only half open to God's love? I don't. We're not talking of time. We're not talking of how the purification takes place. And if we use the word fire, which is often the customary image that's come down, it's the fire of love that purifies us. And we learnt that even as a little child in the catechism. The beautiful thing about purgatory, the beautiful thing about being purified, is that you know for all eternity you'll be in the mystery of God. It's just that somehow, regardless of time, don't bring that in, because time is a nonsense once you're dead. Now, a lot of the images that we picked up in catechisms and still get preached by me and others, I presume, you can't think except in space and time. So you get the idea that someone's in purgatory and they might be there for 2 years, and we used to have indulgences, didn't we? And that your indulgence might get someone out of purgatory for 2 months or... And so many quarantines, I remember that word coming back. Okay, they were simple images, and when I was a child, we used to, on the feast of the All Saints, All Souls Day, every time you went into the church and said so many of the... And I was not purgatory. I'd eat your heart out. There was no one in purgatory by the time I'd finished my day. And it didn't do me any harm. You're kind of going into the church and praying, then come out. Then you go in again, and you've got all these people going to heaven. And maybe when I get there, they're going to say, mate, thanks. Okay, it's simple, it's human, it's normal, it can be even funny. We're allowed to laugh at ourselves. But all I'm talking about is the underlying truth, which is... so obvious, again, I can't see why anyone would have a problem with it, that when I die, if I'm unfinished, please God, I'll be finished so that I can... finished meaning totally pure in heaven. Do you know what I mean? So that something has to purify me, and it can happen in a flash, and it's got nothing to do with time, but I have to be purified. Now, I just think that's obvious, so I'm not going to say any more about it. If it's all obvious to you, I can't help you. Because I can't say any more about it. It just seems totally clear to me that I don't want to be in heaven the way I die, unless I'm a saint. I want love to purify me. And purification's never easy. You think of the times you've had to apologise. It's not always, it can be easy, but it's not always easy. Purification of the heart is a painful process, becoming, admitting hurt and wanting to love more. And learning to love is a painful process, isn't it? I mean, I think it is. Learning to love really beautifully, because you've got to get rid of yourself to do it, your ego and all that. So somehow or other, it's a painful thing, and in the flash of eternity, looking at God, the pain of realizing who we are and what we had and letting love purify us, I can't even imagine it, but I know it's necessary, and that's all we mean by purgatory.